Okay, we'll start our post-induction ceremony press conference with one of our inductees tonight, and that is Jack Roush. I know it's late, and I won't give you a chance for an opening question. I'll just throw it straight to the media. Please raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you right away, and we can start up in the front with Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Jack, I think right here at the front. I think I counted just about every single driver that you've had in your tenure here tonight. What did it mean to have so many of the faces, past and present, be here to help celebrate this honor with you?
What an emotional experience this night was. I cannot remember a night that's been filled with more emotion than it was tonight. To look at Davey Allison's family and Alan Kulicki's family and his team that supported him, to look at the connection between Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick and Roger Penske and all of his people and all of his involvements and going back into the 60s. It was just a history lesson to me, as well as just an extremely emotional thing. Of course, Jim Hunter, my buddy Jim Hunter, I tell the story about Jim Hunter. I told my wife Pauline tonight, I said, Jim Hunter was a guy that within 100 miles, if one of your team members had a problem with the traffic laws within 100 miles, Jim Hunter was a fixer. He was a fixer for a lot of things, a lot of circumstances, breakdowns between NASCAR and the media. He certainly deserves to be in there with the greats that helped build the sport. But it was a history lesson as well as a chance to renew old friendships. Rubbed on a couple edges of some competitors, some drivers that we've had some conflict with over a period of time. You know, Ron Hornaday is a good friend now, but there was a time when the fires ran pretty high between us. But it was a great night with a lot of emotion and a lot of sentiment and a lot of love in this room tonight.
Jack, James Jackson, theracingexperts.com, right here in front. Can you kind of walk us through what you think was the key to your success throughout these years?
The keys to my success?
Yes, sir.
Well, I started drag racing because I was motivated to be involved with racing with some really good people at Ford that were involved that had science to put behind the drag racing, and I learned from them. When the opportunity came for me to be involved in road racing, there was experienced people that were experienced with the cars and with the strategies and with the flow of the races, and I learned from them. And the things that I learned about the drag racing and the road racing and how different the cultures were, when I started my Cup team, I didn't bring one person from up north. I didn't want to give the impression that I came in going to show anybody how to do anything. I went to NASCAR school with Jim Hunter's help and John Cassidy's help, and with Darrell Waltrip and a lot of people showed me. I learned as much from the back of the hand help that I got as well as from the supportive help that I got. But I was on a learning curve that was straight up. And without Mark and without Steve Mio and without Robin Pemberton, I would have never made it through.
Mark?
Mark Garrell, PRN. Jack, years ago, you and I talked about it. At one point, you told me how disappointed you were that you lost the championship with Mark, and at that point, you were thinking, you know, like, I wonder if this is all worth it. I wonder if sticking around NASCAR is worth it because you were so disappointed. As you look back on it, how glad are you that you did stick around and play it out to the end to win the championships and all the races you did?
Yeah, we've enjoyed winning our championships. I think for Mark and for me, the most important thing was to make sure we did our very best. You know, there was a time early on when the rules would flow from one manufacturer's body to the next, depending on the things that were aerodynamically unknown and the things that benefit the performance of one car over another that were unmeasured as far as NASCAR is concerned. And so in the times when we didn't have the hot hand, we pressed on and did the best we could. And when the times when we did have the hot hand, we tried to use it like a hammer. And it was a great fun, really, being able to challenge ourselves with things. I know the engine relationship with Doug Yates and Robert Yates was a big thing. But we won the championship in 2003 with engines built up north, and then we won in 2004 with engines built with Robert and with Doug. And it was great putting those two programs together because there were strengths in both that that have really made the present stronger than it could have otherwise been.
Hunter.
Hey, Jack. Hunter Thomas, thefourthturn.com. You had some really talented veteran drivers. You had some really talented young drivers, and you were able to find success with all of them through sticking with Ford. Can you talk about how you aligned the crew chiefs and the drivers together while sticking with Ford and finding all that success?
Yeah, the relationship between a driver and a crew chief has always been important. And, of course, today, with all the science involved, you might say it's less important. But one of the things we still race with is the chemistry, the desire that the driver has and the relationship that the driver has with the crew chief. As Jeff Gordon said, Ray Everham could get more out of him than anybody else could. If it made him do things he didn't think he could do. And that relationship with a driver and a crew chief bears that fruit if it's really where it needs to be. And with even as the cars are and with as durable as the parts are, used to be you could have a championship fall your way if you had better engines that didn't break or you had a little better aero. But those things are all pretty much at their best at the excellence today. And so it comes back down to the driver that's able to feel all four tires and say, I really think we need to concentrate on the right front or the left rear corner of the car to point you in that direction as if an old school is really still important today. It's one of the few things we've got that's not regulated.
Go to the back.
Hi. Hi, Doug Coates with the Mooresville Citizen. Jack, can you just kind of describe the types of impact that the partnership with John Henry, what did that have on your businesses?
With John Henry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Henry is a great sports entrepreneur. You know, he's got the soccer team in Europe, and, of course, that's come after he made his relationship with me, a partnership with me on the Roush Fenway team. But he was involved with iRacing. He invested in that early and helped advance the technologies and make them available for the iRacing enthusiasts around. He's got a competitive room in his house, or he did have 10 years ago when I visited his home, where he focuses on competing with other folks that have got iRacing equipment all over the world. I know we went to one of the racetracks early on in our partnership. He was there, and I said, have you ever been to, I want to say it was Darlington? He says, no, I've never been on the ground. But he says, I've been hundreds of miles on that racetrack, in my iRacing. So he was a great enthusiast and saw the potential that we had in our drivers and invested in it, and he's been responsible for a lot of the success we've had. He's been a great partner.
Any more questions for Jack? Okay, Jack, before we let you, I'm sorry, we got one follow-up from Mark in the front here. If we can bring up the mic.
Mark Carroll, PRN again. Jack, just your thoughts on the upcoming season, the addition of Ryan Newman. What do you expect what are your hopes for your organization this year?
As soon as I have a chance to have a five-minute conversation with Kevin Kidd and Ryan Newman, who tested the cars at Las Vegas the last 2 days, I'll have an idea. But they're run 3 hours behind us, and so we were already into the evening before I had a chance to get caught up or get the upshot of what the day was. Yesterday was a day when our cars, the Roush Fenway car, had more downforce than it needed, and we maximized the downforce potential that we had, and of course it turns out that on a lot of the racetracks we're not going to need all that, or it appears we're not going to need all that. Places like Atlanta and the Auto Club racetrack in Fontana, and other worn-out racetracks, probably Darlington, the downforce will be a big factor. Places like Michigan and Charlotte and Texas, we probably have to lower it some to get the drag off the cars. But today was the day when they were going to try to take the drag off our new Mustang and see how much speed they had. And I got just one little sound bite from Kevin Kidd that said he had good news for me when I had a chance to call him. So I'm anxious to know. I'll be able to answer your question better after that. But it's going to be different with all the downforce. And it's going to be one more tuning thing. We're typically in the past, we'd never been able to get enough. And the challenge was always to be able to optimize the arrow. And whoever had the hot hand on that had the advantage. But it may be, if there's adequate downforce for most places and too much for some places, it'll be the teams that are able to pair that back that'll have the advantage. And I don't have a clue what I think about the restricted racetracks next year. I'm looking forward to taking Jimmy Fenwick's cars to Daytona again for one last time that we've raced the last several years. But where we're going to have going to Talladega, I've got to get versed on how the testing's going and before I have an impression of that. I'm apprehensive that you know, we won't have a chance to test there before we have to drop a practice flag on it and see what we've got against the other cars.
Okay, any final questions for Jack? Okay, Jack, before we let you go, just one last honor for you. I welcome from our Public and Government Affairs Department, Dan Klinaski, to present to you a proclamation from the Office of the Mayor from your hometown of Covington, Kentucky. Mayor Joseph Meyer has declared today, February 1st, 2019, Jack Roush Day in the city of Covington. So congratulations on that
as well.
Thank
you. I have to respond to that. Oh, you've got a plaque for me.